We're going to start with 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Beginning in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know, Paul is speaking, of course, of himself and all that are of a like heart and mind, as he is. But we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. There's also Paul who spoke of putting off the old man, putting on the new man. He's basically saying the same thing here in this chapter, only he's using different terminology. He says, if our earthly house of this tabernacle, speaking of this in which you dwell in, which is not merely your physical body, but it also involves everything that you are. All your mental concepts, everything that involves your soul life, your mental life, everything that involves your natural man life. See, if all of this house, the house that we have lived in the past, has been entirely made up of things of our man nature. And slowly as we have progressed in the Lord, many of these things of our old house have been dissolved or are being dissolved. And we're looking for the completion of it to take place. And Paul says, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So he's saying the next dwelling place that we have is eternal, whereas our previous house is in the process of being dissolved. And as it is being dissolved, the new house is being formed. We're somewhere in between. You see, it's kind of like Abraham was between Ai and Bethel. He was on a journey. He was on the way to Bethel. But he was somewhere in between the two. Ai being a house of ruins or a heap of ruins. Bethel being the house of God. Ai being what he was, or had been, a heap of ruins, a house of ruins, like what he's talking about here. But he's headed for that temple to become the very dwelling place of the Lord. So Ai is what he was. Bethel is what he is headed for and what he is becoming. And so this basically what Paul is speaking of here. Who knows? He may have been thinking about that when he was talking about this, using different terminology. Mm-hmm. He's saying if this house or this tabernacle is dissolved, then we know that we have a house that is not made with hands. It's not of man, but it's a house that is eternal in the heavens. So how do you know whether your this eternal house is becoming your dwelling place or not? Well, is your old house being dissolved? You know, and we've talked about this same thing in many different illustrations. We've used Matthew 24, where it's nation rising up against nation. And Paul talks about it in Galatians, where there's warfare going on between what we are and what we are becoming. So in verse 2 he says, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. In other words, man, we're trying to get out of this old house. It's dissolving. It's coming to an end, and we're trying to get out of it just as quickly as we possibly can. And we're groaning. We're earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Naked, ashamed. You remember, that's a word that was used back in third chapter of Genesis. Eve had listened to the serpent. Hath God said? And in her unbelief of what God said, in her believing of what the serpent said, she not only partook of the apple, or the fruit, but she encouraged her husband to do so. And then when they heard the presence of the Lord coming, they covered themselves up because they found themselves naked. We don't want to be found naked. Naked would be in the earthly house that he's speaking of here. Brings nothing but nakedness and shame. Verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. We're just not wanting to get out of the earthly house, but we're desiring to get into the eternal house, to be clothed upon with God. You see, it's not just enough to get out. It's like the Lord spoke to Moses, I have come down to bring them out. Yes, but also to bring them unto himself, you see. Verse 5, now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. The earnest of the Spirit. That's like if you were to buy a house or a piece of property, you give them some money in advance called earnest money. That earnest money is to show there's going to be more coming. You give this earnest money because you intend to pay the rest, you see. That's what he's saying here. He that has wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also he has given us to us the earnest of the Spirit. In other words, because he has given us a foretaste of the Spirit, that is the assurance that the rest is coming. Therefore, verse 6, we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in this body, we're absent from the Lord, but we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, go back to Genesis 12. The Lord is speaking to Abraham. He was in the land of Ur of Chaldees. Not a good place to be. A place of idolatry. A place that was totally of man, nothing of God that was there. And the Lord speaks to Abraham in the first verse of chapter 12. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's home unto a land that I will show you. Now, we understand that the man, he was to leave the country in which he was dwelling. He was to leave his father's house and his kindred. But that's not just the country that he lived in. not just his literal father's house or his literal kindred, but the things that were kindred to him were the things of his nature, the things of his old nature, the things that, everything that made Abraham what he is was his kindred, and that was his house and his country. And the Lord is saying, you come out of that so that you can become what I want you to be. And I will make of you a great nation. See? You're going to be pulled out of one nation and brought into another nation, a nation that I have planned for you to be. Everything that you are made up of or consist of is going to be wiped out. You're going to be a totally new person. And we talked about this many times in the past, of what that means. We use that scripture, if any man will follow me, let him come after me. Let him take up his cross, deny himself, because it's the things of self that destroy a person. The things of self is your house. It's where you live. And when God began to dissolve your house, the things that make you what you are, it don't feel good. And that self-preservation instinct that was is within us begins to fight to maintain what we are, to resist God. In chapter 24, it's been a long time since I've read Joshua 24. I'm not sure where to start here, but let's start with the 14th verse. This is near the end of Joshua's life, and he's given this last address to the people. He loved them with all of his heart, but he knew they were not what they were to be yet, and this is the address he gives them. Verse 14, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth." In other words, instead of fearing what you're going to lose of yourself, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. What gods were they? Oh, you can list a bunch of names. But the gods that they really served were the things of self. On the other side of the flood, and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, it's kind of difficult to make a promise for what other people will do. At one point, the account in the scriptures in the book of Acts, which speaks of Paul and Silas when they were in prison and the earthquake took place and they got out of the jail, and the jailer who was responsible for keeping them in bondage, Roman law was, boy, if your prisoner escaped, you're dead. That's all it is. So he was going to kill himself, you know. And Paul said, wait, don't do this. We're still here. We're still alive. We're not gone. What must I do? The jailer said, you believe in your heart, and thou shalt be saved, you and your household. And Rebecca and I both were moved by that. And at that point, we decided we were believing for our whole household. And these were those of our household, and we were believing for God to save them too. And we haven't turned that loose, and we have seen some changes, and we're going to continue to see changes. But the household, I am a household. As for me and my house, this house right here, all the things that make up DuBose, I am determined that what I am, every aspect of my being, everything that I am, everything that exists in me, and there's still a lot of things in me that haven't bowed the knee to the Lordship of Christ and haven't confessed yet, but I am determined. These are things that are going to serve the Lord, and I am determined for that to happen. And that each one of us has to make that decision about our household. I can believe for each one of you. I can believe for my other kids. At some point, each one of them has to make that decision themselves, that what they are is going to serve the Lord. Also, a scripture came to my mind this morning where Jesus said, if your hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. Well, we know that the hand itself is not the culprit. But I think what he's saying, if there's something that is affecting you and causing your life to be destroyed from what it could be, get rid of it. Whatever it is that you're clinging to, cut it off. Get rid of it. Well, that takes a lot of faith. It takes more faith than what I got. So therefore we depend upon His faith. We don't always know. I told the Lord many, many years ago, I said, whether you bless me or whether you don't, I'm setting my heart to serve you. And whether God dumps a bunch of riches on us is not going to determine whether I serve the Lord or not. I set my heart that I'm going to serve Him, just like Joshua said. But as for me and for what I am, I'm going to serve the Lord. And I'll probably be tested on it. You know, I can be put in a place where I don't have anything left. Now what you're going to do both? Well, I hope that I'll continue to serve the Lord and to walk with Him and not be moved by that. But I think it's something that every one of us has to come to the place where we decide, is He the Lord over my life? Can I trust Him as the Lord over my life? That's a difficult thing. But every one of us, at some point in our lives, will come to the place where we're tested on that. And we have to decide, will we do like Joshua and say, as for me and what I am, I'm going to serve the Lord. And in the meantime, I'm going to believe for my whole extended household. Amen.